From the very beginning, God's plan was to have a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood and a holy nation whose purpose was to serve the world and to worship and honor and praise Him. And to this end, God chose an insignificant nation called Israel. They were to become His priests, His holy nation, and to bear witness to the God of creation to all the earth. They were going to serve God. They were going to serve the world and reveal the God of creation. And this is what we find in Exodus 19. Now obey me completely. Keep my commandment. If you do, then out of all the nations, you will be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine, but you will be a kingdom of priests to serve me. You will be my holy nation. That is what you must tell the Israelites. They were called to be the priests to the world, to serve God and to serve the world. And the place where we were to meet with God was to be in the Holy of Holies, a place where God would dwell, a symbolic place. And in it was a great curtain. And that once a year, one person, the high priest, would enter beyond the curtain and meet with God on behalf of Israel and on behalf of the whole world. And then within the nation of Israel, it was the priests and the prophets who spoke for God. Now, who remembers Peachy's little experiment called Chinese Whispers about Lynn's love life? How's that going, Lynn, just out of interest? Going good? Yeah, great. Now, what happened is that, of course, you start at the beginning and you know, whisper, whisper, and then they whisper, whisper, and whisper, 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 whisper. And what we discovered that by the time it got to the back, it didn't quite reveal what was happening or what was originally said. And for Israel, this is what happened. God at the beginning said, this is who I want you to be. But as each generation passed through, they slowly lost the intent of what God wanted for them as a nation. Now, periodically, prophets would be raised up. Now, we think in terms of prophets, oh, the people that tell about the future. But most of the prophets' goal was to point Israel back to their original purpose of who they were to be. The royal priesthood, the holy nation, the light for the world. Because by the time of Jesus, Israel had become a special nation, very much in their own eyes. They had separated themselves from the rest of the world. And they were only priests to themselves. With the coming of Jesus, something new was going to happen. In the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. He spoke many times. He spoke in different ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And as Jesus was on the cross, dying, and with the words He says, it is finished. Something significant happened in the temple. The curtain that had divided God from his creation. The curtain that only one person once a year could enter into was torn apart. No longer was God going to be separated from his creation. No longer were a select few be able to come into his presence. No longer was he going to be a mystery. Because through the death and resurrection of Jesus, every person now has access to God. And the fulfillment of the prophecy that said, in those days I will pour out my spirit on my servants, and I will pour out my spirit on both men and women. I think the New Testament says, the King James says, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And thus, with Pentecost, the church, the living body of Christ, was born. Everybody now had access to God directly through Jesus. We no longer needed somebody else's hands to shave us, to mediate on our behalf. We could do it ourselves because of Jesus. History has a funny way of repeating itself. At approximately 312 AD, Christianity became the state religion of the Roman Empire. And with the power that brought to the church, all of a sudden, only a select few, the educated few, were the ones who spoke for God. It was only a select educated few that now held the keys to God. It was Chinese whispers all over again. And that initial message of Jesus and the fact that God can now have direct access to each and every one of us suddenly got lost. And we were back to people shaving on our behalf. That was until 1517. Who knows what happened around about 1517? Which was, big word, the Reformation, which was? Yes, I believe it could have been, but in terms of the church, yeah, not that significant. Martin Luther nailed his thesis to the church wall with 95 things that he said we have lost. He was very much like the prophet who was saying we need to get back to the very beginning of who we are as God's people. And one of his key verses were the ones that Peachy read, and also this verse. But God chose you to be his people. You are the royal priests. You are the holy nation. You are God's special treasures. You are all of these things so that you can give him praise. God brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It became known within Christian terms as the priesthood of all believers. And in short, it means all of you have the Holy Spirit. All have free and open access to God. All hear from God directly. All have gifts given from God. All are equal in God's eyes. Christians no longer need priests to intercede on their behalf. It is these truths, particularly for Baptists, that we hold truly, dearly to our hearts. That we're all equal. That we all hear from God. That we all are gift and have abilities that we can use to serve our God. And as I said at the beginning, God is after and always has been a kingdom of priests to serve him in this world. And we as Christians are the new priesthood. We are the body of Christ here on earth. So as priests, what does it mean? It means that we are to offer up our prayers and worship to God. Revelation talks about the prayers of the people of God being incense, rising up to God. Incense was one of the key elements used in the Old Testament in terms of their worship of God. We don't burn incense, but we offer up prayers. We give ourselves in worship. We sing and we meditate and we pray. These are things that we as individuals are able to do. It's in our human nature to worship. Some people it's money. Some people it's a football team. Some people it may be a car. There's just something in us that wants to pour adulation out onto. But for us, it's our God. So as Christians, we're able to engage individually and corporately in prayer and worship. We do not leave prayer and worship to professionals. Although there's this sickening trend, I think, in some churches where worship is done by professionals and everyone else just sits back and observes. It's a worrying trend. It's just a personal opinion. Offering prayer and worship is the responsibility and privilege of every believer. That's the first thing as priests of our God. We're to offer prayer and worship. Second thing, as priests, we are to offer up sacrifices to our God. Now, I'm not suddenly saying that we whip down to Wayne's, grab one of the bulls, whip it back here, Bob's your uncle, barbecue for everybody. That is not what we're called to do. But the sacrifices that we are to offer is our lives. That is the sacrifice that God now requires. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer up your bodies to God, you are worshiping him in the right way. Don't live the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you'll be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. So as Christians, we are able to offer up our lives to God in service. We do not leave sacrificial living to professionals. It's the responsibility and privilege of every believer. Third thing is priests of God that we have. As priests, we have a permanent access into the presence of God. Now, unlike the Old Testament, where only the high priest once a year was able to enter through the Holy of Holies into the symbolic presence of God through Christ, we have a permanent, anytime, any place, unimpeded access to God Himself. We have a great high priest. He has gone up into heaven. He is Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold firmly to what we say we believe. We have a high priest who can feel it when we are weak and hurting. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. But he did not sin. So let us boldly approach God's throne of grace. Then we will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it. Brothers and sisters, we are not afraid to enter the most holy room. We enter boldly because of the blood of Jesus. His way is new because he lives. It has been made open for us through, opening has been made for us through the curtain. I'm talking about his body. We also have a great priest over the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart. Let us come near boldly because of our faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from the sense of guilt. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. As Christians, we express our identity as kings and priests in a royal household by the sure knowledge and certain confidence that we have permanent and unimpeded access to God's presence. We do not believe that professionals or any others have a greater right of entry or acceptance than we do. Now, at this stage, it may look very much about that this is all about just God and me. Now, as an introvert, I'm really keen on that because it means I wouldn't have to, you know, mix with people. It'd be wonderful. But it's not about just God and me. See, the problem with everybody hearing from God is trying to figure out who's hearing correctly and who isn't. And church history is filled with disastrous cases of people believing that they have heard from God, who are infallible and therefore cannot be challenged, and it has ended in disaster. You know, the old saying, if someone says to you, well, God told me to tell you, your response should be, well, when God tells me, that's fine. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have that ability to say to people, it's how we do it. Now, if you really believe that God is saying to you to say to somebody about something, the easiest way is just to go and say, hey, have you ever actually ever considered blah, 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 blah? Leave it and then walk away. Because if it is of God, two things will happen. One is the person will go, well, yeah, I have been, but I just thought that was me. Or the second thing is the seed will be planted further down the track. God will bring that back to them. And if it isn't of God, then it'll just sit there and it'll just die. But the moment we say that we are infallible, we are in trouble. So what is the check and balance? What's the check and balance to stop us going wacky and thinking we are infallible? It's quite a simple one. It's called the body of Christ. There is one body. It has many parts. But all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We are baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. And it doesn't matter whether we're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free people. We were all given the same spirit to drink. So the body is not made up. Oh, where are we? So the body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. Suppose the foot says, I am not a hand, so I do not belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I am not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. The whole body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part of the body just as he wanted it. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one. But there is only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, it's just the opposite. The parts of the body that are least important are treated with special honor. The private parts aren't shown. Each and every one of us has this vertical relationship with God that nobody else can stand in between and mediate on our behalf. But we have this vertical relationship is kept in balance by the horizontal relationship that we have with each other. We need the body of Christ. And as much as an introvert as I am and would be quite happy to be on my own, there's the acknowledgement is that I need you. You unfortunately need me. And together we serve as a check and a balance. Each of us is one body of many parts, and the parts do not have all the same purpose. So also we are many persons. But in Christ we are one body, and each one, according to the grace of God, has given us. Do you have the gift of prophecy? Then use it according to faith. Do you have the gift of serving? Then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If encouraging others, encourage. If it's to give to others, give freely. Is it being a leader, then work hard at it. If it's to show mercy, show mercy. Do all of this cheerfully. See how the body works is that in the vertical relationship, somebody may think they're hearing from God and they think, oh, heck. Is that what God's saying? And what they then do is that part of the body shares with the rest of the body. And it may be that what I've heard is from God, and I've heard what to do. And as I share that, somebody else in the body think, yeah, I believe that, but what I'm hearing from God is the how to do. And so corporately, we work together. Corporately, we discern as a people together what God is saying to us. And that's an essential part of what we believe as Baptists. That we're all equal. That we all hear from God. But together as the body of Christ, we discern what God is saying to us. See, there's a mentality that says the more spiritually gifted a person is, the more they are closer to God and more favored by God. But this is not true. Spiritual gifts has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. Now, here's why. Do you deserve that gift? Well, I'm giving it to you. I'm just giving it to you. Better give one to my son. You don't deserve it, but I'm giving it to you. It's a gift. Is it the same as his? You want to show it? Just hold it up. No, it's a different gift. Here we go, for you. I know Eric doesn't like chocolate, but I'll be giving you one you probably chew on, Eric, actually. Something you don't need your teeth about. That's for you. Just, yeah, gobstopper, yeah. Did I say that out loud? Did you say that out loud? Where are we? Here we go, we're getting close. Yeah, and online. Are they all the same? No, no, they're all completely and utterly different. Did you earn those gifts? Did you earn them? No? Is anybody listening? Yeah, but so is everybody else. See, the gifts were given and they weren't based on merit, on favor. They weren't earned. And that is the same with the gifts that God gives. We don't earn them. It's not that God's showing favor, it's just that He gives different gifts to different people so that together they could work for the kingdom of God. But what so often happens is that we seem to think that people who have the showy gifts or the more obvious gifts are closer to God and more spiritual, and suddenly our horizontal gets a bit of a wave in it, where we think some are slightly better than others. And it is wrong. There is no difference in the gifts that are given, and all of us are given gifts from God. No gift is more important than another. The horizontal stays a straight line. A real test of spirituality is actually the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not fruits, it's fruit, it's one. And within that one are all the elements. That's your true test of spirituality. So no gift is more important than another. Whether it's Andrew, the pastor, or it's whether whoever's doing morning tea, it's whether who is leading, speaking, gardening, all are equal in God's eyes. All are being priests and a royal priesthood to our God. All are serving our God. And so as Baptists, we firmly believe in the vertical, that we all have access to God, that we all hear from God, that we are all gifted from God, that we all have a say. And as Baptists, we are committed to the horizontal. That is our check and balance. That we are not alone. And we have never been called to be alone, but we are corporate in our understanding of what God is saying to us, His people. And all of this came from Luther, who declared that we are all kings and priests, that we are the royal nation, the special people, the priesthood to the world that is hurting, that God has always intended. Let's pray. Jesus, as you died on the cross, you cried out, "It is finished." And in that act of death, no longer was the requirement of the select few to offer up yearly sacrifices to make us acceptable to you. It is finished. Your blood, your life, your death, once and for all, tore the curtain asunder so that we, each and every one of us, would be able to enter boldly into your presence and worship and honor you, lay our lives down to you, and to declare to the world, this is the God of creation who loves each and every one of us. Lord, teach us what it means to be priests in our world, to be members with you in the act of reconciliation. May we let our lights shine. In Jesus' name, amen.